News Bears podcast. I'm your co-host, Jason, and I'm with my other co-host.
I'm Alex.
And, yeah, we've been away for a little bit, actually. We haven't been recording in a hot minute. We had one episode, and then we did record a second one, and then we didn't get to post a second one, and now we're actually back and actually going to start recording episodes. It's been interesting.
I got lost in a national park for several hours, so that may be it.
The few hours caused weeks of delay to the podcast.
There, that's your whimsical answer.
Right, it's perfect. Okay. Well, okay.
No, so,
No, it makes sense. It's pretty funny. But no, we got busy, or we had other things come up. You know, it's been stuff. But good news is we're back. We're actually going to start recording regularly, whatever that does look like. Who knows? I guess we'll find out when we get there. And to kind of play on par with, well, actually, before we get into the episode, I guess I'll ask, how are you doing? We can do a little bit of small talk first, because that makes sense.
People want to know how I'm feeling? Okay. I'm doing fantastic. enjoying the day of the sun and the things. Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great. You know, obviously, I've been busy with a lot of stuff, mostly like new album music came out, you know, video game stuff, designing, developing, coding, all the craziness that my life entails is always so much fun. But
Docker plugins.
I didn't like at the names of any of this stuff. So it's not that. So
fair enough.
Obviously not plug-in. No.
Oh, so we're not going to do a 15-minute spot for Squarespace? Okay.
Oh, no, but you did remind me we actually do have a sponsor. I totally forgot.
So the wonders episode, of...
Yeah. Well, the wonders of... Wait. I do want to hear what you were going with.
Oh, I was just going to make a sarcastic comment of... the whimsical flow of podcasting. That was it.
Yeah, exactly. Horrible flow, but it's fine. But this episode is sponsored by Kyverse Games. If you don't know what Kyverse Games is, it is a gaming studio founded in the U.S. as creating physical games, digital games, and Web3 options. Check them out at kyversegames.io. They sponsored our podcast, and really excited for them to jump in and it's really cool what they do. I like their games and I like their ideas and designs for it. But outside of that, so let's get to this podcast episode. Obviously, the first episode we did, we talked about favorite childhood video games. Did you host that one? It's been so long. Was that the one that you hosted?
I thought we were talking about, I thought one of the episodes was either traveling or films.
No, that was the second one. The traveling one. That one was the one that we recorded, and then you and me both don't know where that recording is.
Or we can do that recording again. How's that?
Yeah, we could probably do it again. I mean, okay, so after this episode, you and me go look for it again, and if we do end up finding it, huzzah. But if not, we'll record. That's fine. But the very first episode of our podcast series was specifically our favorite childhood video game. So I wanted to play off of that one and say, like, the idea was, what was the idea? No, I'm kidding. Evolution of video game consoles and kind of like the consoles over the years, which ones we had when we were younger and compared to the ones nowadays and kind of what we think about them. What's like kind of overview of like what's some stuff that we liked from previous consoles that are gone now or stuff that new consoles are lacking, maybe, you know, that kind of thing. So I figured we can go along those topic of video games since our first episode of video games, this one's the consoles, and then we can kind of move on to other stuff like traveling, et cetera, on other episodes. But that was the idea of today's episode. So I think the first question I would have for both of us to answer is, what's the very first console you remember playing?
couldn't play games on my phone.
Snake on the classic Nokia.
Oh. No, I would say my first console I ever had was the N64 in the yesteryear of the 90s. And then I would say the second, the oldest console I ever played was the Super Nintendo in daycare, because that's all they had. So it's like, what? Star Fox happened earlier? And it's like, yeah. So much earlier. Like, what?
did you never play the original Nintendo?
No.
The Duck Hunt and any of that stuff?
No.
That's terrifying. Because, I mean, I know I'm older than you, but it's not by much. Like, what the heck? So the original Nintendo came out. Like, okay, so my first console was the Super Nintendo. You said 64. Mine was Super Nintendo. And then have you played the Sega Genesis at least, or no?
Yes, and I tried the Dreamcast once, because I had a neighbor who had whose older brother had a Dreamcast for a very short period of time, and I was like, the heck is this?
Okay, that's a good point. So the Dreamcast, there's certain things I did like about the Dreamcast. Do you remember much about the Dreamcast?
It was weird button formats, and it was not, I wasn't, and the logo freaked me out.
the spiral.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you remember the Dreamcast, but the Dreamcast had the little screen on the remote itself. Do you remember that?
Oh, that was weird.
It was weird, but I have to, like, whatever it was, like, the little, like, you could attach, like, insert and stuff like that, whatever, but that little thing on the front, it was different. Like, I was trying to be different than everybody else's stuff, and I thought, I personally, at the time, I was like, this is so cool, like, whoa! I was really impressed with it, because it was so different, you know? Because at the time, it was, like, Super Nintendo, and I don't remember. I think it was just Super Nintendo, and 64 came out later, I think, if I remember correctly. But that was a Sega system.
No. Otherwise, my neighbor, I had some neighborhood friends for most of grade school. One had a PlayStation and one had an Xbox. So, and then I had a GameCube. So. We all traded options so we could play everything, because I don't know, I was 7 and didn't make money.
I just remembered. So 64 came out in 96. Dreamcast came out in 98. It was right after. So that was during the 64 era and Dreamcast era. So 64 compared to the Dreamcast. I think Dreamcast had like 128-bit, but yeah, I don't know. I thought the remote was really cool. Sega was really trying to get a console out there that people liked, because I don't know if you remember any of the other Sega consoles at all.
I saw them in history episodes on G4.
That's actually kind of funny.
What that means in English is there was a on general television, there was a gaming channel called G4 TV, and so there was like 3 or 8 shows that were all about video games.
G4 was good when it was back, when it was just talking about actual video games and stuff like that, which was really freaking cool. I kind of wish Sega comes back with an actual like console rather than just like next year's Sonic with a repatch.
I thought Google had one going called the. I thought Google had one going the last 3 years.
I think I saw rumors of it, but I didn't know if it went any further than that. Like, I don't know if they actually went with it, because, like, I don't know if how much of Sega stuff, because Sega was coming out with a console like every 2 years or more frequently. Like they had like
God, that's like panic in today's numbers every 2 years. Like, what is wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Sega was freaking out. They're like, here's the Sega SG-1000, the Sega Mark III, the Master System, the Video Driver, Sega Genesis, the Mega Drive, Sega CD, Sega Mega CD, Sega Pico. Like, they were just like panicking, just trying to get something out where people would be like, oh yeah, this is great. Like, the I think they came out like early 90s with like the 32X, the Saturn, and then I think at that point the Dreamcast was their final, like, let's see if we can stick it to them. I think they redid the Pico, but outside of that, the Dreamcast was their last hurrah trying to get gamers to go with them. But, you know, their stuff was complicated. But you said you also had a 64, right?
Yeah, I had the 64 for a while, and then I got the GameCube. And then after that, I saved up all of my childhood money to get an Xbox 360.
Nice.
And then I got a PS2 for Christmas, and I went nuts.
That was okay.
A really big deal.
We can definitely get to, because I'm with you on that one. The 64, do you remember the expansion card in the front of it? Did you ever have to put that in there?
We bought it, but we never used it. I always just learned. I was like, oh, we got to get the Rumble Pack in to play Smash Brothers.
I remember those, yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise, we didn't play enough for us to use the extended card.
Well, yeah, like, you know, like on the console itself, like where the power between the power and the reset button, there was a little slot there. You remember that one?
Yeah. I just got a general memory card for it, but it wasn't those bulk big ones that you're talking about.
No, not like the ones on the back of the remote. The remote had their own like memory card, Rumble Pack, whatever. So they had stuff on the remotes, but like the console itself, some games couldn't run on the console, so you had to open up the front of the Xbox, or sorry, of the 64. You had to open up front of the 64, and then there was a little thing there where you pull it out, and you would put like this red topped card in there, basically, and it was supposed to give your 64 more power so that you could actually play the higher quality games.
I probably did that for Pokemon Stadium 2.
Yeah, I think that was one of the games that did that. That makes sense. Okay, so then, so obviously PlayStation 2, like that one, I think we definitely had to touch up on PlayStation 2, because that came out roughly the same time as GameCube, Xbox One, like the original, not like the new Xbox One, but the original Xbox. The original Xbox. So it's like GameCube, PlayStation 2, the original Xbox. So with those in mind, with the PlayStation 2, how many hours do you recommend think that you actually put into that?
Oh, probably in the triple digits easily. Summers and a lot of time. Yeah. Well, I'll just say that.
I'm if this gets played back
later, I'm just gonna say a lot.
I absolutely agree with you on that one. I know it was kind of funny because my cousin was really into video games, and when I got the PlayStation 2, they were over there like, oh well, I got the new one. And I don't know if you ever heard of a new one before.
Vaguely, but I'll let you explain to the listeners.
So it was made by Motorola, RCA, and Samsung, Toshiba. They all made them. They're like DVD players basically, but they had this really wonky like Batarang remote. And the idea was that it was supposed to compete with upcoming games with the DVD format, looking like basically a DVD player, but they had some games with it, like, you know, basic games like Tetris and stuff like that. But it was just such a funky device because it was a DVD player, but it played games. Like, if you go to the thrift store, you see, like, the old school DVD players. It was that. It was big. It was chunky, but it had a remote with it. It was so weird. But yeah, I was like, who cares about the new one? PlayStation 2. And then GameCube came out shortly after. And I'm sure you did. You have a GameCube, or are you stuck with, like, the PlayStation and Xbox Live?
No, GameCube was a big deal for my life. For I would say the first third of my childhood, and then I bounced to PS2 after that. So a mix of the both, and then Xbox 360 was pretty much high school.
Okay, so with the PlayStation 2, did you have like the original, like, fat boy one, the big fat one, or did you get, like, the slim one that they came out, like, the redone one?
I didn't. Listen, I didn't really have money till college, so everything was scraps and odd jobs, so it was the bulky one, and I would be lucky to get a game, I would be lucky to get new games consistently. Let alone save up from odd jobs. So, short answer is bulky one only.
That's pretty funny. I will also say that I didn't have, like, extra money and funds to go buy consoles, and I never did. My grandma bought us the PlayStation 2, but she bought us the slim one, the smaller one. And I felt like the coolest kid out of all my friends for a while there, because they're like, oh, I got a PS2. They're like, you do? I'm like, yeah, I got the small one, though. And they're like, so sleek. Like, it was one of those things where everybody's like, oh, really? Wow, how is it? It's like, it's the same as yours, but smaller.
I can hear your privilege from here.
You're the privilege. did you ever get, like, the, I don't know if you did, but did you ever, do you remember, like, they only had, like, two remote plug-ins, so you could only plug in two remotes to the console directly, but you can get this little expansion cube thing where you plug it in player one, and then it would give you four more plugins that you could use with four slots and four memory card slots on it. Do you remember that at all? Did you ever get that?
Yeah, I got one. Yeah, I got that.
I feel like me and my brother spent way too much time trying to figure out if we can play any of the games with five players instead of the four, or. My friend brought over his little four-person block and decided to plug it into player two, and we had eight remotes plugged in. We're like, let's do this, and no game supported it, but we thought it would be cool if it worked. I don't know.
No, that's how LAN parties are a thing. So.
True. Did you ever do a LAN party with the PlayStation 2, though?
No, I only did Halo LAN parties.
Right, so that's something that's interesting, I think, because with PlayStation 2, it talked about LAN all the time. It was like, yeah, you could do LAN stuff, here's how you do it, blah, blah, blah. And it had all these different ways you could do it, but then I don't think there was really many games where you wanted to do LAN parties on PlayStation 2.
Nothing, like, really came to mind. It was always Halo.
Right, so, like, PlayStation 2 came out with all these really cool single-player games or two-player games. I will give credit where credit's due, because the original Star Wars Battlefronts were on PlayStation 2. Phenomenal, whatever. But Xbox came out with games, and, like, immediately they're like, you want a LAN party. You want, like, everybody you can. Have your own screen. No screen peeking. Like,
make yeah, this work. That, I would say that was the precursor to online gaming, but, or at least to me. Yeah, I didn't really get that into it till maybe I tried halfway through high school, and I knew someone who had a fast enough internet connection to do it where it didn't crash all the time. So I was like, wow, this is wild.
Yeah, I just dealt with the crashing all the time. But yeah, exactly the same way you did, though, where a friend was like, oh, yeah, you should come over. We're having a LAN party. Bring your Xbox. And then you're trying to figure out how to bring your Xbox without breaking it, because it was like, I don't want to break it. It's my only joy. No.
Right. Like, no, I saw a video maybe a couple weeks ago, and it was a TikTok of a girlfriend like, I'm being so considerate. I'm getting his PS4 cleaned. And she's washing it in the sink. And I'm like, everyone's like, that's dead.
Those videos, I feel like sometimes those videos are made just to get a rise out of people.
And so essentially, like, rage bait.
Right, exactly. I'm just like, oof. Like, maybe the boyfriend actually ended up buying a PS5 and he's like, do whatever you want with it. She did that or something, but like, ooh.
I hope it wasn't real. This probably wasn't real, but the best one was it was a Christmas the video is like Christmas, and it's of course it's a girlfriend and a boyfriend. And the girlfriend has a PS5 box. Opens it and it's just a PS2 and a PS3 duct taped together.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure that was real just to play the prank, and then they had the PS5 off to the side or something, but absolutely hilarious.
Oh, I hope so. It's like, check yourself. You really think I can get it, you a PS5? Get over it. That's funny.
So what do you think over like the idea between PlayStation 2 and Xbox, because they came out roughly the same, like within a year of each other, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so I don't know, PS2 had a lot of great single player games that I would say resonated with me a lot. And yeah, that was just like an easier option for me playing games growing up. And then all the good multiplayer games were just happening on Xbox, and I just had a connection. And so we were like, let's do it. And then, so I would say Xbox had the foothold on multiplayer games, or at least a good co-op game. Like, I was crazy about Gears of War for a while. And PlayStation had their own single player stories. I love Jack 2, Ratchet and Clank.
Oh yeah.
And then a bunch of third party studios like Ubisoft, they would have it on single player games on the PS2, which that's an easier option. Be like, oh, and of course joking with friends like, oh hey, that would be great if I could borrow your Xbox for a week, and it's like, no way, deal with it. Buy your own Xbox. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, so. No, exactly. I still think to this day, if I remember correctly, not including handheld consoles, but I think to this day, PlayStation 2 still has the record for the most units sold for any console, like actually non-handheld console. I think so. Actually, I'm going to Google that. Let's see. Okay, yeah, it is. It's still number one. All right.
Okay.
I think they definitely set a standard though, which was interesting, because when it came to multiplayer with friends and stuff, they had online, but didn't you have to like pay for it or something like that? Like if you wanted to play online with somebody?
Oh, yeah, that was the general thing, and I guess that was also the monster of the beast of high school with online gaming. Was you needed, so it was a matter of you need the internet connection, which is outside your control because you're a kid, and then you had to pay for it. So either you start making real world money or you beg your parents. And my parents were like, laughed off, like, you're funny. No,
yeah, no,
like, you have money? No, then the answer's no.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah, I think the PlayStation 2 was so revolutionary. Okay, you can disagree with this or not, but I think what made it stand out from other gaming consoles was the dual joysticks. And first, I know the PlayStation 1 came out with dual joysticks for a little bit there, like near the end of PlayStation 1's reign into the PlayStation 2, but the two joysticks, I think that's what really revolutionized gaming in the consoles.
Yeah, for sure.
So outside of PlayStation, because obviously you and me both grew up on PlayStation. I think a lot of people in that era grew up on PlayStation 2. It was just so many people had a PlayStation 2 and played PlayStation 2, etc. And we did touch up on Xbox. I really did like the... I don't know if you ever did this. Did you ever mess around with the Easter eggs for our original Xbox, or did you not have original Xbox?
I have friends who showed me an Easter, maybe one of the Easter eggs, but no, I never found one on my own. Outside of a singular game, I would find an Easter egg.
Right. Like, the console itself had Easter eggs, where if you set the time to a certain thing, or if you let it sit there without touching it, it would start whispering. It was, like, stuff like that, where it would... It had Easter eggs in the console.
Oh, no, I followed an Easter egg for Ratchet and Clank that was time-sensitive, but that was it.
Oh, okay, cool, cool. Yeah, the games always had really cool Easter eggs, but the console for Xbox had one, which was weird, but it made it unique, because people were like, oh, yeah... There is that. I just thought of a phenomenon that I dealt with, and I don't know if this is the same experience you had, but I'm going to find out. So with consoles, right?
Sure.
I was happily playing my Battlefront 1 and 2 games on PlayStation 2 with my brother all summer long, and playing Xbox at friends' house, etc. When the Xbox 360 came out, all I knew of the Xbox 360 is that all my friends wanted to play this game, Rock Band or Guitar Hero, and the Xbox 360 was the primary thing for Guitar Hero and Rock Band. And I don't know if you had the same experience as that.
I probably did Guitar Hero with friends like a couple times for sleepovers. Then I tried Rock Band at a lock-in once, and I thought that one was a little bit more versatile because it wasn't just guitar.
Right.
So it felt like you were in a band. So the game looked like, oh, this is what the vibe of being in a band is. And so I can see that game definitely inspiring a lot of musicians, or at least... setting them on the path.
No, you take that back. I am a musician and I played guitar for a long time. I sucked at Rock Band and I sucked at Guitar Hero. I hated those games.
Oh, I love those games. I had a great time, and I was like, this is my fantasy to know what it's like to play an instrument. Here we go. And so that was essentially so that's what I got out of it. So I guess we agree to disagree.
I agree that a lot of people, I think what my original point was that a lot of the times with the Xbox 360, if someone was like a friend of us or anybody was like, hey, you want to come over and play Xbox? If they were referring to the 360, it was to play Guitar Hero or to play Rock Band for the majority, or obviously some Halo. But like, that was like the go-to games for the 360 from my experience. I don't know if it's the same for you though, but it sounds like you did play quite a bit of it too.
I would say a good amount, but it wasn't like all the time. It was just feeling the vibe. There were many nights involving that.
Yeah, I didn't want to get a 360 when I had PS2. I was a lot of Nintendo peeps as well, so I had like the GameCube and stuff. When 360 came out, I remember my friends after obviously the Rock Band and Guitar Hero stuff, but I remember them talking about the Red Ring of Death. Do you remember that?
Oh, that experience, that happened to me twice, and I went through the whole process where I mailed it to Microsoft and they fixed it for me.
Yeah, that whole thing terrified me to get an Xbox 360. I'm like,
because, no. Of course, the theme here is you work with what you got.
Right. And I didn't want to got what I had to work that with.
I can just get another console. Look at me.
No, I didn't want to. That's the whole thing. I was like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to. If a red ring of death comes up, my money's done because I'm broke. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm good. I just didn't want to deal with it. So I never got a 360. I know a lot of my friends were like, why not get a 360? You can play Xbox Live. And I was like, mm-mm. I don't want to deal with ring of death. I'm good.
Right. So the other hindrances, I would say, in the growing up with video games to a semi degree, the console preferences were a pain, but you just go to a friend's house. Mm-hmm. I would say the biggest hurdle for me was playing. Of course, there was a period where all the good games were rated M. Mm-hmm. I'm like 14. I'm like, there's no way in heck I'm gonna get to play this game.
Yeah.
Because I had strict parents, so.
That will be a topic for another episode, by the way, because no, I'm kidding.
Okay. So I'll give you a side story to justify how I even was able to play Halo. So the big thing was if I can distinguish fiction from reality for a story of a game. So they didn't want me to play GTA Grand Theft Auto because of that, if I didn't know the difference between fiction and reality.
Makes sense.
And so I argued I could play Halo because I argued that aliens weren't aliens are fictional and everything in this is fictional. And there's no spaceships and there's no aliens flying around right now. And so my parents were like, okay, I can see that. You can go play Halo. And so I was able to play Halo because of that.
So your excuse for Grand Theft Auto was gangsters aren't real? No.
No, I tried and then I got grounded for a week. So yeah.
You're like,
No, I could not justify Grand Theft Auto. I played that and it's like, oh, I won't tell anybody. And then I played it and then I was beating up a gangster with a golf club because I thought it was funny. And then my parents came over early to pick me up. It's like, you're grounded.
Yeah, been there. Mid
club. And so I didn't play Grand Theft Auto forever. And I even had to convince, So
I had a similar instance because I was, I think it was on PlayStation 2. No, it was Xbox 360. I went over to a friend's house to play Medal of Honor, back when Medal of Honor was actually a good game and everybody loved playing it. And
I never got issues with Medal of Honor because that was history.
See, I didn't at first because I was like, hey, it's just this is war game, it's from history, whatever. And there wasn't really that much blood or anything like that. But I was playing it and I remember I was with a machine gun. I was like, die, ha. And I was yelling, die, and laughing and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Because I was just killing everybody. And my mom walked into the house to pick me up early. She's like, why are you yelling that? And I was like, oh.
I'm like, oh, you can't play anymore. And like,
oh. I was like, oh. It was the same thing with the, I was actually, it was kind of funny because, getting over to Nintendo's side, Smash Bros. Was huge, and everybody wanted to play Smash Bros. Like, Melee was like big on GameCube.
And, yeah, I definitely played Melee with a lot of friends.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and I loved playing Ness. And if you don't know who Ness is, he had this ability to set people on fire. And same concept. I was at a friend's house playing Smash Bros. Because my mom and my parents were like, oh, okay, it's fine. Like, you know, they're just little Nintendo characters. They're beaten, they go flying, whatever. It's animated. It's not real. It doesn't replicate realism. And so I was playing with my friend. We were in the living room right next to the front door. And apparently I was playing the game and I remember yelling, burn! Like, I was just yelling burn out loud, and I yelled it loud enough to where my mom outside the door, who was coming to pick me up, heard me, and she's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I just caught them on fire, mom, it's okay.
And she's like, you're like, okay. And you're like, and like, you can't play that game anymore. And like, dang.
I'm like, dang it. I think that one, it took a couple months before I was like, look, it's cartoon stuff. Like, just look for yourself. And so she watched it for a while. And my dad was like, yeah, they can play that. And so it worked out to where I could play it again. But I remember, like, I yelled, burn. And I was like laughing. And my mom's like, I heard you outside. Like, that's not okay.
Right. Yeah, and then Gears of War. Yeah, and then I didn't tell anybody about Gears of War.
Yeah.
So then I was old enough to buy my own games, and then I was fine.
Right, exactly. It does bring up a question, because talking Nintendo side, obviously the GameCube banger, especially when they added like the thing on the bottom of the GameCube where you could plug in your Game Boy Advance games or your Game Boy Color games, etc. So much fun. Little things like that where GameCube just dominated like multiplayer and family gaming. The Wii came out. A lot of people had the Wii. A lot of grandmas were buying Wiis for their kids. A lot of stuff like that, which the Wii obviously was revolutionary with the whole idea. It's like, I can swing it and it knows I'm swinging it. And I can point. It knows I can point.
I didn't get the Wii because of that reason, because I was like, I'm not buying this thing where you can swing something and
go outside.
One, you can do something more realistic because it's reality. It's like, you know what I can do besides virtually throw a basketball? Throw a basketball.
Your parents were like, oh yeah, so the Wii, you can like pretend to throw a bowling ball. Why don't you just go bowling? Like, go outside, exactly. And do something.
So, that's
actually pretty funny.
That and the reason my parents weren't thrilled about a Wii was they heard from my sister that people would not put the straps secured at all, or they would like, I'm fine, I'm aware of my body, and then they throw it and then it gets lodged into their TV screen and they have a broken TV, and then they're out hundreds of dollars. I'm like, I'm good. Let's not risk it by not buying it.
Yeah, I actually remember a friend of mine that did that, and I was there, and I kept telling him, because he was kind of like a wild child anyways, but I kept telling him, like, you need the strap on, because, you know, I was really a really goody two shoes kid for a while. They're like, you gotta do the rules, man. You gotta do the rules. Put the strap on. He was like, he thought it was funny. He was like, I don't need the strap. That's for losers. And we were playing baseball, and he swung hard and went flying to the TV, and just whole TV shattered. I was like, ooh. I was like, okay, that's. I'm not going to see my friend for like 3 weeks. He's grounded for sure. Like, oh no. So that whole thing was, yeah, that was common. I remember seeing that happen. That happens. So did you ever have the Wii U?
Short answer, no, because of the throwing hazard, and I was on board with other video games at the moment.
Right, even though the Wii U was like, I never had one either, and I don't know anybody that did have one. That's why I asked.
I knew people who did it. I knew someone who owned one, and so that's what I ended up doing. Was I just played Wii games at a friend's house, and then the new Smash Brothers came out with Brawl, and then they had multi. They came out with different console remotes, so you can not be stuck to this weird rectangular bar of a remote. So I would say that made their game more profitable and versatile to cater to all ages. It's like, here's a traditional controller, here's a classic controller, here's the brick. They definitely got things right with being flexible on how you interact and connect with others. So yeah, Nintendo has that essentially branded themselves as the family console.
Yeah, no, for sure. I agree. I know that, like, it was weird because Wii U, they're like, the Smash Bros, because it ended up becoming Brawl, but, like, for the Wii U, they're like, we'll bring Smash Bros in and people will buy the console. And they didn't call it anything special. Like, the GameCube was Melee, and then Wii U was Smash Bros for the Wii U. Stupidest name ever, but whatever. And then obviously it went to the Switch, and a lot of people bought the, I have a Switch. There's a Switch over there in the living room, and Smash Bros. Brawl, and I absolutely love playing it. So I think obviously all the new consoles, there's PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X/S, or the Nintendo Switch. Obviously I'm glazing over Xbox One. Everybody called that the VCR. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But so with the new consoles, I think a question I want to ask is, what things do you wish the new consoles had that maybe the old consoles had or could have had? Like, what are some things that you think the new consoles should have? Because they're pretty basic. It's two joysticks, a D-pad, the same four buttons on the front, the same triggers on the top. Like, they're pretty similar when it comes to the button configuration.
I never had an issue with the joysticks placement because Xbox had a, like, diagonal, while PlayStation was parallel. Well, some of the conveniences of modern technology... Wireless, that was a big deal. It was a lot of off-brand or third-party companies trying to do that, or probably the first to do that. Mm-hmm. Because wired was always frustrating if you're having a LAN party, or you're just playing with friends, and then they get tangled, and then that's just trying to sort that out for cleanup, and that's frustrating.
Right.
Yeah, and then memory card, that's probably something I just had to deal with. So just trying to remember which card goes to which game. And then what's another thing that I would probably appreciate? Yeah, I didn't really have a mute button when I started using headsets. I couldn't find a... I would just have to... Yeah, they didn't really have a mute button. So I guess just small... inconveniences I would describe for that question. And then now there's like a default screenshot button for your controller, and then yeah, all that, the thing,
right? So I know this is not like everybody's forte, but I think I like a lot of the new consoles have a lot of conveniences that are really good and they work really well. That's the whole point of them. And like you said, there's like no more cable. You don't have to have cables connected to it. You don't have to have, like, for your remote, you don't have to have memory cards. You don't have to have the other stuff. And I agree. That's all. We're progressing for sure. I think for me, as being a little bit more nerdy, I would love to have the availability for any game to kind of adjust the quality of the graphics so I can prioritize frame rate over graphics or graphics over frame rate. I don't know.
I know some PlayStation games try individually. They have a high performance mode, fidelity mode, or a mix of both. But yeah, console, as a console feature. I agree with you for that, but I just know it's only the only time I've seen it as they've made that game specific or they included that as an option within the game.
Right. And like for example, I have an Xbox Series X. So like with my Xbox, I went back and played BioShock Collection, and they do have it on there where it's like, you want quality or do you want more performance? And I think that right there, that kind of idea, if it was a console level, I think it'd be phenomenal. Because let's say like you go to your settings on console and you can say you prefer quality. Okay, great. It will always go to the highest graphics possible for that game. If you say you prefer performance, it'll always push it for a specific frame rate or the highest frame, like a specific frame rate. Because if you say the highest frame rate possible, it's going to look like crap. But I mean, in the sense of like pushing that 30, 60 FPS as best as it can without deteriorating the quality of the game. It's just like a slider, yeah. Basically, you know, something simple like that where you have a little bit more control.
From what you're saying, I have to, that reminds me of something that I did do that I found out that was probably not suggested to do in hindsight. I was really into cheat codes for a while. For games, and that was fun. And or you could like replay a game with cheat codes. So I thought that was really fun. Like essentially a reward for like doing all the hard parts of the game, where all the hard parts are like set convenient or easy. And mm-hmm. So then I found this random thing called Game Shark at a GameStop.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, I can just have cheat codes that they don't have them like built into the game. And so what I later found out was essentially, well, like adult me knows, is like a game, it has like lines of code and information that connects and interacts and like basically has all these moving parts for it to work. And I found out that Game Shark, with when I click yes and on those cheat codes and then putting in the game, I'm essentially like making shortcuts and like breaking my console with how it's processing the information to make this happen. So it's like,
right,
if you keep doing this, you will literally break your PS2. It's like, ah, frick.
Jeez.
It's like, I guess no more Game Shark. I was like, make your own cheat code. It's like, oh, I want Jack to have a lightsaber. And it's like, oh, that's not going to happen.
No, I'm with you on that one. I was literally going to mention Game Shark, because Game Shark was something that, frick, I used so often. Like, I was using Game Shark a lot for a while there, because it made the games really, well, it added a lot to the games. It was really fun. So, that's so funny, I guess, though. If you...
Right. But, yeah, so that's the, so I tread lightly on that after that warning. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw this in the trash, and it was fine. And then most games in general had a or some sort of reward system where there would be extra stuff, or there's a cheat code option. So it's not like it's gone forever. But I would say the organic that pretty much, or I would argue that the natural evolution of that was called, or the concept of New Game Plus, where everything you earned and obtained in a whole game, you got to keep at the beginning when you started again. So I would say that satisfied the need of cheat codes in that way, but that's debatable for sure.
Yeah, I can agree. I get why they stopped doing a lot of the cheat code stuff, because obviously a lot more stuff is multiplayer. A lot more stuff needs to be matched up with the online stuff. If it's a different version, it won't work for connecting. And so they remove a lot of that. So where you don't have to worry about not being able to play with friends or have to do reinstalls or, you know, I get that. So, but I feel like there's a lot of games out there that are very single player only and don't connect online that should allow more cheat codes or customization to the degree to like, hey, if you beat the game, now you can use cheats or something like that, or, you know, make the game more interesting. Little things like that would be really, really cool, in my opinion.
I would say some single player games, I would have issues where they want an internet connection, because there would be, I don't know, there would be an option where another player, so co-op, or they have a feature where they, I knew this was in Watch Dogs, where it's like, oh, you need an internet connection to play a single player game. It's like, oh, that's crap. Right. It's like, oh, and it's like, why is that? Oh, we have a feature where a rival player shows up as a hacker to mess with you, and then they can do that anytime. It's like, So like invader type multiplayer competition, and I don't know,
dude, that happens in Elden Rings too.
Ah, jeez. So we're bad. we clearly disagree on purpose and reason for gaming. I know you like all of the challenges, and I like minimal, because my argument is I get stress for free from work or whatever else. I'm not paying for stress.
Okay, true. I, I, will, I
Yeah, it's like if I want more stress, I'll just do overtime at work.
Yeah, because I'm very competitive. So like for me, if I am playing multiplayer game, my goal is to be number one on that chart. I'll make sure it happens. And if anybody watches my Twitch streams, you'll see consistently I'm number one, number two, or number three. No. So it's like I always try to. But when I play like single player games like Elden Ring and stuff like that, I like it to give me a challenge, because after defeating the challenge, that high of like I did it, it's addicting, and I love that because it's a lot of fun. So that's how I play games. So like when I play hard games like Elden Ring and then or Dark Souls and that whole universe, and then I'm like, oh man, I fought that boss for 3 hours straight, and I probably played him over 100 times trying to beat him, and I finally beat him. Yes, and you over here, it's like, they made him too hard, I'm done.
And I get that.
Play style.
Yeah, I've been playing Destiny 2 lately, and so I was playing with a friend, and essentially there's a side mission where if you do three different of the main missions of the DLC on like super hard mode, essentially you get like a really awesome weapon. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I really want this laser weapon. It's like, but this is super hard and we're not even on the second phase. And and so I was like, I think I'm done. And so the friends had to convince me to keep going. So I died like 30 times, but I finished the mission.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I remember, yeah. No, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to put this down. I'm going to take a hot break.
There's one more console that we didn't mention that I think is the most important one we should mention, because it's one of the best ones out there.
The Virtual Boy?
The PC. No.
I think that's wrong.
As like, can you imagine, it's like as we grew up, we just had one PC that we just kept upgrading as we, oh my gosh, I do have a gaming PC, I understand, but but it's just kind of funny. Listen,
I can give you an answer of why did Alex ignore the PC this whole episode. We only had one computer that was, yep, computer stuff, and if we wanted to do gaming things, I would have to either win my parents over, and they said no, I need that for my job, I need that for emails, we're, yep, gonna shut that beep down. No more computer games that is not, yeah, from anything after 1998. You get a job and you get your own money. And I was like, okay, got it. Because consoles, yeah, were separate and didn't need an internet connection.
Yeah, it was like, I will say, like, the PC, I understand the customization. I understand people are like, this, obviously it's not a console, but it's like, it's a big part of gaming is the PC, because you have all the customization, you have all this, like, you could build power basically to run gorgeous graphics. Like, I remember when Minecraft was announced to have like the new shaders and like the shadows and the lighting and all the new stuff, and it looked so good. I was like, oh, I want to play that. And it's like, not on console, only on that PC. And I was like, no. So I have a really nice PC now, but that's just because of work. So I do a lot of 3D rendering, so I get it now that I have one, but before I was like, just get a console. And obviously, honestly, consoles are just, they do the job amazingly. They are phenomenal. Series X, PlayStation 5, those guys are handling games, right, they're like
essentially
a champ.
Just brick computers, yeah, so.
Yeah.
But a very specific computer, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty. I think it's cool. PC has some perks, obviously, but Xbox like, and PlayStation solely running games makes them a really, really hardcore gaming machine, you know, that kind of stuff. So
right,
I get it. So it's cool, but yeah, I think that kind of wraps up this episode.
Sure, I was gonna share a shady story how I got a PS5, but that's fine.
Well, okay. Well, now you put it like that, you must do it.
Okay, so I'll just encapsulate the small bubble during console history of exclusivity and scarcity. The PS5 was launched at a weird time. We all dealt with we dealt with a pandemic, and I was like wanting a PS5 for a long time, but you couldn't go anywhere to buy one, and if you wanted one online, you couldn't buy one because everyone else bought it potentially faster because technology.
Right.
And so I was like mentally giving up on getting a PS5. And to make this story long, make a long story short, I knew a friend of a friend who was selling it because he went PC, and essentially I gave him $350 in cash in an unmarked envelope in a Target parking lot. And friend's like, dude, that sounds so shady. It's like, he's like, do you want the PS5 or not? And it's like, yeah, I do. And I was like, was it ever turned on or set up in any way? It's like, no, I never even touched the box. He kept his end of the deal, and then he was like, can I count the bills? Like, yeah.
In the parking lot of Target.
In the parking lot, and I got stairs, and then, like, I just gotta get out of here.
Was it at night?
No, it was like at 11 a.m.
It'd be so funny. It's like, yeah, at midnight. It's like, okay.
Right.
Only one's in the parking lot.
Right, I gotta do it for laugh. So, yeah, that was it. So, yeah, we... Let us segue to the end.
Okay. This is fun. I'm excited to continue recording Good News Bears. And then obviously next episode, Alex will be hosting and he'll be bringing the topic and he'll be bringing the questions and running the episode. So I'm excited to see what you bring. Thank you for joining. If you haven't already, follow us on the RSS feed, which you could just search Good News Bears. We're on Spotify, iTunes. iTunes is actually coming. So we're on Spotify.
We're not on Google Podcasts?
We're on Google Podcasts, actually. There's a few other places. So we are just getting started. So obviously this is the second episode. So
what we'll about Podbean?
I think so, actually. We are on there, yes.
Sorry, I'm being
difficult. Tune in, iHeartRadio, etc. So we're growing, so that's good. So we will soon have like maybe a website where you can kind of see stuff and kind of get the latest from our podcast and stuff like that. So just expect more from us as we continue to do recordings and continue to share good fun stuff around the campfire of a podcast, I guess is the best way to say it.
We will be everywhere in the ether except mail, because that is the U.S. Postal Service, and that does not fly or work, because it's the mail.
If you want me to mail you a transcript, I will.
Yes, we have one fan's like, mail us a transcript of this whole podcast.
We don't know. Maybe we have a death fan out there. We should. Just, you know, death listeners.
Oh, I am very pro of the deaf community.
If you have a deaf friend.
Then we can... Oh.
We can send them transcripts if you want.
I can send them subtitled video assets of the recording.
Yes,
I'll get subtitles as a video asset for this recording. So that would be my answer to the deaf community immediately. Otherwise, yeah. Perfect. Otherwise, we hire an interpreter and then there becomes a video cast, which is budget and time.
Yep, exactly. All righty. Okay. So we are ending this episode. We hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned for more. Follow us on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and we will see you in the next one.
Catch you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.